That's right. You are listening to Rumination Thursday, September the 14th in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Tom Baker, and when I said here we go, it's because, you know, every week we have Wes Reimnitz on the phone. Unfortunately, that's not true today because he's in the studio. Hi, Wes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It wasn't quite the gusto I was looking for.
Oh, really? Well, being in the studio now, I can talk to him personally. He's our Steak and Shake guy because we're going over to Steak and Shake after, right?
Yeah. Well, personally, you're trying to get my reaction to my facial comments when you...
Oh, I get you. Well, I was walking into the building, and there was a group of pastors, and one of them said, "Hi, Tom," and it was President Rast from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's here for a meeting. And Z was walking down when Z talked to me. Pardon?
When he was walking.
No, no, Z.
Z, I know. You're trying to get into this article here.
That's right.
But you know, on Fort Wayne, I was part of that first four-year class that went through when it moved up to Fort Wayne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from Springfield.
From Springfield, Illinois.
And I was part of the Fort Wayne when it was still the senior college. And moved over to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
So Z, you want to talk about Z? Huh?
We want to talk about Z. What we're talking about is, you know, we now allow same-sex marriage and transgenderism is being permitted on the part of people. And so what they did an analysis of what actually changed in Britain since same-sex marriage. And the reason I use the word Z, let me just quote to you, "Manifestations of the British gender revolution are not difficult to find. For example, Transport for London," and I believe that's a newspaper, "have prohibited the use of heteronormative words such as ladies and gentlemen. Meanwhile, universities across Great Britain are threatening to mark down students who continue to use the words he and she. Instead, gender-neutral pronouns such as Z must be uniformly applied," and that's spelled Z-E. So I've been talking to people, and every time I mention it, I say, "Well, did you hear what Z did?" Mm-hmm. In fact, I walked in and told her, the secretary, "Has Z showed up yet?" And she's looking at the list of names that people sign in. She said, "Oh, no, he's not here." And I said, "I just saw him in the studio."
They haven't gotten used to you yet.
No, they haven't got used to me.
Well, what's also interesting about this article, though, is that it was written, I believe, for Australians, because I guess it's coming up that Australia is going to vote on same-sex marriage.
The big difference is that in Great Britain, it was decided by the Congress, so to speak.
The Parliament, yeah.
In Australia, it's going to be a vote of the people.
People, yes.
And I'll bet you there'll be a big difference there.
Oh, that's why they're talking about it now.
Yes. In fact, this is really interesting to know, and we should be prepared in the United States. They have a great analysis that much was made in Britain about supposed exemptions designed to ensure that believers would always be allowed to stay true to their convictions. But now, 4 years later, the very same people who made heartfelt promises now work tirelessly to undermine them.
Isn't that the way of error or sin?
Absolutely. That's the way the devil works.
Yeah.
That's kind of that nose of the camel in the tent.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times I kind of disagree with that, the way it's used, because they use it for situations where you should be allowing the nose in the tent. It doesn't mean the whole animal is going to follow. But in this case, the nose in the tent was, of course, gay marriage. And, for example, there's an equalities minister named Justine Greening, and he has insisted that churches must be made to, quote, keep up with modern attitudes. And the Speaker of the House of Commons, here's what he said. I feel we'll only have proper equal marriage when you are bloody well get married in a church, if you want to do so, without having to fight the church for the equality that should be your right.
It's going to be a push, isn't it? They're going to go from you have a right to object to it's discrimination.
Yes. Well, the fact of the matter is, I don't know how many times you've done this, but I've had at least two times in my ministry where a couple comes to get married and I refuse to marry them. And they're both members of the church. Why? Mm. Well, the one situation, the husband told me privately he had AIDS and he wasn't going to tell his wife until after they were married. And I said, I'm not going to be able to do that marriage. And when he finally did tell her before they were married, she broke up with him.
Well, you know, the one that I vividly remember is I was doing premarital counseling. You know, we were going through the Bible. We were talking about the various things about man and woman and things like this. And I sensed something was wrong with the fellow. You know, he just was clamming up. So I said, I think you better talk about it.
Yes.
Well, after about 3 months, I finally had to call him up and I said, well, aren't you going to get married or what's going on here? She said, I found out he was gay. We had a long, hard talk about it.
Right. Yeah, this homosexual activity will ruin families, ruin countries, because it's an abomination before Almighty God.
Now, it's not wrong for a gay person to marry a woman.
That's correct, if he repents. And but, you know, I was always on the impression that a gay person wouldn't want to marry a woman.
Yeah, no.
But that's not true. You know, some people go back and forth on this kind of thing. But this is really interesting that the politicians in Great Britain are saying that the church has to marry these people.
And they're hounding the ones that have a strong conviction against gay marriage.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. In fact, that's what they're saying here. That for decades, he pointed out he had vocally and legislatively supported the LGBT lobby. But it was not enough for this person to stay in office because he wasn't for gender change. In fact, the gender change I found really interesting as to what they're talking about that is that all you have to do right now is sign a document saying you're a different gender.
Mm.
You don't even have to have a medical examination. All you have to do. In fact, I was disappointed on our trip about a month or two ago. I stopped, what was it? I think it was a Wendy's, yes. And I went to go to the washroom, and it had male or female on each door.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so I waited, and the first door that opened, a woman walked out, and I walked in. Fortunately, the bathroom's only enough for one person.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you made that distinction.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you lock it when you go in, and I really lock mine. You know, that's all you need. But the fact of the matter is at places like QT, the big gas stations, there's like four stalls and this kind of thing. One person can't
do that.
No, no. So I don't know what they're going to be doing there. But I complained when I got out saying that we're not for this transgenderism, they call it.
Well, you bring that up. And interestingly enough, a book that you had recommended years ago that I read is Tom Eckstein's book, Bearing One Another's Burden.
The best book I know of on, from a biblical point of view,
bearing
homosexuality.
Their bearing their burden. He really gets into a little bit of same-sex marriage and a couple of two. And what's interesting is at one point he even discusses really, what does it mean to be human, to be a male and a female? And here we are. This was written in 2010. Here we are in 2017. and they're saying you can be any gender you want.
Yes. Yeah, this is having huge ramifications in Great Britain. For example, this the politician ended up having to resign when he said he was a practicing Christian. And he stated that it was now impossible for a believing Christian to hold a prominent position in British politics. But it's not only the politicians. Guess what's happening to parents who want to become foster parents or also want to adopt a child?
Well, the High Court there.
Yes.
Britain's High Court is denying couples on the basis of religion.
Yes, they ruled that a Pentecostal couple were ineligible to become parents. And while the court recognized their successful and loving record of adoption, they decreed that above all else, now this is the court, the equality provisions concerning sexual orientation should take precedence. So practicing Jews, Muslims, Christians, and Sikhs who want to stay true to their religious teachings are no longer able to adopt children in Great Britain.
What happened? A few moments ago, you said there was going to be a freedom of religion.
Exactly. And this is really, that's a very good point you're making, that when we hear politicians today say, you know, there's going to be a freedom of religion, I often remember when they were talking about starting the lottery in Missouri. They promised there would be no advertising. Well, guess what? There's advertising all over the place about the lottery. And yeah, I was with some people recently, and they were in the car with me, and we were going by a big sign. The lottery in Missouri was up to, what, $43 million? And they say, do you do that? They were from out of town. And I looked at them and I said, well, I bought one lottery ticket and I didn't win. So God had his chance. I'm not giving him another one.
Well, I've made thousands on the lottery.
How?
I didn't pick up a ticket.
Very good. That's a good point. I got to remember that one. The way to make thousands is not... Well, I almost got caught in, what's this magazine, and you get, what, $5,000 a week for the rest of your life?
Oh, yeah, Publisher Clearance.
Clearance, yes, yes. So I went to look at that, and right away they sent me all kinds of things to buy. Now, they say you don't have to buy them, but it was kind of clear, and there were about 10 steps to go through to even get enrolled. So each time it comes in now, we have a filing cabinet right beside my chair called a garbage can.
Oh, that and emails. You gotta put them in the junk pile.
Oh, I get 200 emails a day. I've got five kind of email addresses, actually more than that. But about 180 of them are spam.
Wow. You know, back to this, you know, when you were talking about this orientation and that, you know, when you... sent me the internet article linked, and I went to look at it. I went looking and taking a look at more of these types of articles, and this is really picked up from 2013 when this discussion is. It's all over the place.
Yes.
So this article that you're talking that we're talking about today. That's out of Australia, is really just one of a series of many, many articles out there that are talking about the problems with same-sex marriage.
I don't know how much you're aware of this because you're retired now, but I'm just getting members when I'm working with a congregation who are really afraid to speak their Christian faith at work lest they get fired. I'm working with one out of Ohio right now, and he's the only one in the office against gay marriage. And he says, well, I could get fired. Well, guess what happened? In Britain.
Freedom of speech.
Adrian Smith, sacked by a Manchester housing trust because he suggested that the state shouldn't impose its rules on places of faith and conscience. Or Richard Page, was fired for gross misconduct after articulating that children might enjoy better outcomes were they to be adopted by heterosexual couples.
Interesting.
Yes. And obviously, a child's going to have a better outcome, maybe heaven itself. Because if you have a heterosexual, homosexual parents, they're going to be giving the impression to the child that God doesn't mind that kind of relationship. And we know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. They get crispy critters there.
Yes. In fact, we've already had a bakery in the United States fined for $100,000 plus because they wouldn't bake a cake for a gay marriage. Hmm. And in fact, the people wanted them to bring the cake to the reception. Well, guess what? Small businesses also in Great Britain. Northern Ireland ruled that the Asher's family bakery had acted unlawfully, and therefore they had political consequences. They politely declined to decorate a cake with a political message in support of same-sex marriage. The courts maintain that business owners must be compelled to promote the gay cause, irrespective of personal convictions.
Right. And next door, they're doing that same sort of thing up in Canada, aren't they not?
Well, Canada is terrible. Yeah, they. I was in Saskatchewan doing a series of lectures to about 40 pastors on the Sunday when they okayed gay marriage. And it wasn't okayed by the people. It wasn't okayed by the parliament. It was okayed by the Supreme Court, which often in Canada, which also is like what happened here in the United States. The Supreme Court decides that gay marriage is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. What I found interesting as I read the article, it went from wanting equality, which was back around 2013, to today in Britain, that it's equal rights, it's
That's
discrimination.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying, what would I do? What would happen to me if I went into a bakery that was doing the LGBT and I said, we're having a conference in order to support, what do they call men who fool around with children?
Oh, pedophiles.
Pedophiles.
Ooh.
And would they bake that cake? Boy, I mean, that's equality. And Law and Order had an excellent program, but this was years ago before they became politically correct. And it was about a guy who was a pedophile, and in court, he argued that he was born that way, and therefore he shouldn't be punished.
Ooh. Well, it's interesting, in Eckstein's book,
oh, yeah.
He, when it gets to marriage, he says, if you're going to do gay, why not polygamy, incestuous?
Oh, that's coming next.
Yeah, that's all coming down the pike.
It's when, and like I was saying, I was talking about this gentleman in Ohio who's kind of concerned that he can't be a Christian in voicing his opinion at his place of work. And here's a good reason. The National Trust, which is a British institution with 4.2 million members, sent a message out to its 62,000 volunteers, and they are required to wear a compulsory same-sex rainbow badge. And those who said they'd rather not were told that they would be moved out of sight until they were prepared to publicly demonstrate inclusive tolerance.
That's not inclusive tolerance.
Not at all. In fact, words really mean a lot. I rarely run into a woman who is for abortion who says, I'm pro-abortion. What does she always say? I am pro-life. Choice.
Oh, pro-choice, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're always, what, anti-abortion?
Oh, we're right? Anti-abortion, yeah, this kind of thing.
And when the reality is we're pro-life.
We're pro-life. Because we believe that a baby in the womb should have a choice. So they use pro-choice, but they don't mean pro-choice at all. They mean pro-death.
You know what? As I was reading this and making preparations, there was a Bible passage that came into mind here. you know, first and second Timothy.
Yeah, bring in the Bible. This is good, if you will.
This is a law of gospel.
Yeah, forgot about that for a minute. I'm glad you're in the studio.
But there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desire, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of your Bibles make the reference back from 4:2 to back to chapter 1 Timothy chapter 1:10.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting, because a little earlier you said, the law is not made for the righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, ungodly, sinners, and unholy and profane. And then it makes a list, and in verse 10 it starts out, immoral men, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and so forth.
Yes.
You know.
And they even, I think, put in gossipers.
Gossipers, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there it is.
Well, thank you. The fact of the matter is, God thinks that's an abomination as much as homosexuality. And we got to make this very clear. When we deride a person who is practicing homosexual behavior, he's not a worse sinner than I am.
Right.
We're both sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment.
Yeah.
The difference is that by God's grace, I repent of my sin when I become aware of it.
I call it a sin. I don't.
That's right. Exactly. And see, that's the big difference here. One of the other areas that's really causing a problem in Great Britain, you know, in parochial schools. I was doing a speech in front of parochial school parents recently, and there's also a very good public school near them. And I said, I really appreciated that you're sending your children to the parochial school, because the public school will never be able to use the word Jesus. In fact, when they discipline, they always must discipline under the law, either hope of reward or fear of punishment. Whereas when we discipline in a parochial school, we can bring in the motivation of Jesus Christ to change behavior.
Right. And, you know, that Timothy passage, and you bring it up well when you talk about, you know, they're confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness.
Yes.
But it goes on to say that the grace of our Lord, who was more abundant with faith and love, which are found in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who among them? I am foremost of all. So Paul included himself. He made no distinction, as you were talking about. We're all sinners. One little white lie is deserving of death versus all the others that we've been talking about.
Yes. In regard to the school again, one of the senior government advisors, Dame Cassie, said, it is not okay for Catholic schools to be homophobic and anti-gay marriage. And they have a group that's responsible in the government for school assessment. And they visited a Vishnitz Jewish girls' school, and it always passed with flying colors. Mm. But 4 years later, they returned, and they failed the school because they noted that students were confident in thinking for themselves. Their report pointed to the inadequate promotion of homosexuality and gender reassignment. As such, it was failing to ensure, and this is their quote, a full understanding of fundamental British values. And it is one of seven faith schools that now face closure.
Ooh.
This is how bad the homosexual movement is. And people who say, well, we got to tolerate them and love them. No, no, because they will not tolerate the Christian point of view. Because they have no defense mechanism against the church saying what God says, that it is an abomination. And so rather than have a defense mechanism, they attack Christians.
That's right. You know, we're getting close to the end here.
I was just going to mention that we're getting close to the end, which means I'm looking for, my wife thought we were going out for pizza, but we're going for a steak and shake instead. So
I wanted to get this last passage in.
I don't think you got time. You shouldn't have mentioned we were close to the end. You should have just brought it. What, just give the passage.
2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, all Scripture is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction,
yes.
training.
That the man of God may be thoroughly
equipped for righteousness and every good work.
And that's all the Scripture, including the Old Testament right. moral laws against homosexuality. Well, this is a great day to have Pastor Reimnitz in the studio with us. I always look forward to it, not because he's here, but because we're going to Steak and Shake. Right. But at any rate, thanks so much, Pastor Reimnitz. And we'll be back tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, where you can talk about what we were just talking about and asking questions. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.